lift up the name of Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Be the name over our lives. Be the name over our year. Be the name over our families. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, isn't it great to be in the house of God? Come on, lift up the name of Jesus one last time this morning. Amen. This backdrop makes me feel like I'm in a boat and I'm moving here. This angled words behind me. Goeiemôre to Melang. Baie welkom. Welcome to COC, the place to be. Are you blessed? Are you excited for a wonderful year? God is going to do mighty and great things this year in and through our lives. We are so honored and so blessed to be in His house. Come on, it's the best day of the week. Bump your neighbors, say, Sunday is the best day of the week. Yeah, I know Friday used to be your best day. Saturday of Klein Saturday or happy hour. But that was in the past, amen. We don't live for that anymore. We live for His day. The Bible says Sunday's the Lord's day. Come on, we're gonna change the culture and the climate in our city. We're gonna have people come back to church. All the churches in Kimberley. We're gonna be on a drive to get people to the house of God on a Sunday. You play your sport, you do your washing, you do your ironing, your cooking on another day. But Sunday you are in the house of God. Come on, let's make a promise, let's make a declaration to fill God's house in 2026 and get the people back since the days of COVID to come back to the house of God again. Amen. Because the Bible says how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together. So good morning. It's great to see so many of you back in the house. Great to be back from holiday. See sand maybe still in your ear. I want you to shake the hand or greet two or three people while we welcome those watching online. And of course, we want to welcome all our first-time visitors here today. If you're visiting us today for the very first time, we want to welcome you. God bless you. We know God has a plan with your life. Maybe God has brought you to Kimberley for this year. They say you cry twice when you arrive here and when you go again. But I want to tell you, God has a plan with your life. God has Kimberley is on God's agenda. How many of you believe that? God's got Kimberley on His agenda. Because He's got you on His agenda. And if you're in Kimberley, God's got Kimberley on His agenda. Amen. When you move, God's got that place on His agenda because He loves us so much. Well, it's great to be back. We're excited for 2026. It's going to be a fantastic year. I really believe God has appointment with us for this year. God is going to do great things. I'm very expectant. Your pastor, I've been praying a lot. I know we are entering a fast from tonight and this week, and we'll talk about it in the announcements. But let's like the Bible says in Psalm 63, let's seek God early in the year. Amen. Let's seek Him early. Let's put first things first. We know schools are reopening and maybe you're back at work. Maybe you didn't go away for work. But let's make a priority to put God first this year and recognize Him in our lives. Many people are facing tremendous, overwhelming fears, anxieties, worry about the future. I want you to know God says, Jeremiah chapter 29, the thoughts God thinks towards us are plans of hope to give us a future, to prosper us, not to harm us. As we position ourselves this year, like you've done, to come to the house, to seek God early in the week, early in the year, know this, that God has your future already in the palm of His hands. So shake off worry, shake off fear. Come pray with us this week as we establish God's will on this earth. Be encouraged, family. God loves you. Come on, bump your neighbor, say, God loves you. Come on, it's going to be a great year. Are you ready for the year? Come on, I want you to open up your hearts this morning. Put everything aside, whatever you've brought in this morning to the house, whether it's fear, worry, anxiety, challenges, put everything aside and let's get our hearts ready to receive the word of God. The Bible says, humble yourself, receive the word of God with meekness, that it can save your soul. One of the things we are doing is we are humbling ourselves. Prayer and fasting, something powerful. It's an attitude of humility where I need God this year in my family, in my career, in my walk with Him. I trust in Him. So I humble myself and I pray and I fast and I recognize I'm not the Lord of my life, but He is. He's the Lord of our marriage, the Lord of our children, the Lord of our city, of our church. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He will exalt you. So let's open up our hearts as we pray this morning before I get into the word. Come on, bump your neighbor. Say, you're looking good today. You like moi, man. Come on, let's open up our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you as we stand at the beginning of a new year, a clean slate, a fresh page. Your word says your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for collective hearts to be in unity this morning. Thank you for the word of God that shatters and breaks anything, Lord, that does not come in line with your will. So we receive it this morning with humility. Speak to our hearts. Guide us this year. We open up this year. Thank you for a beautiful year in the mighty name of Jesus. And those who agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Okay, well, buckle up this morning. Your pastor has a lot to share, so you have to listen quickly. This morning I want to talk to you about darkness cannot comprehend the light. If there's one thing that God's light can do, is it can break darkness. 1 John 1 verse 5, this is the message we have heard from Him and declared to you, that God is light. He's not a heavy, but He's light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. What a powerful scripture this morning. God says if we walk in Him, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, number one, we have fellowship. We have relationships. Destiny relationship. God-ordained relationships. It's important to have a look at your friendship circle this year. It's important that we are interacting with the world and reaching out and witnessing. But you need to make sure that your circle of friends, your fellowship, your community, that there's light. That's why church and home cell and building relationships with other believers is such an important aspect of your Christian journey. Not only does it help us to have fellowship with one another, but the Bible says something very powerful. It says, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us of all sin. When we are walking in the light, walking in fellowship, there's something about having Christian relationships in your life. The blood of Jesus in me, while I'm fellowshipping with you, is busy cleansing you. And while you're fellowshipping with me, the blood of Jesus in your life is busy purifying me. It's unity, it's fellowship, it's the body, it's community. Christ's plan always was unity, fellowship in the body of Christ. Walking in the light is the safest place you can be, in counsel, in fellowship, in relationship with our God and with His Son. Just a little slower. The blood of Jesus is truth. We have to walk in truth. And in fellowship with others, you are walking in the light. That is truth. The Bible goes on to say in 1 John 1 verse 8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us of our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness. And the Bible actually speaks about God goes on to forget. He forgets. He literally forgets your old life. He forgets your sin. Sometimes we don't forget. We're quick to remind people of their mistakes. We're quick to remind them of, hey, I remember what you did yesterday. I have a little book. God doesn't. He tears up that page. When He forgives you, when you come before God and you repent of your sins. Now, obviously, God sees that we don't. The idea is that we do not sin no more. When the woman was caught in adultery and they were dragged to Jesus and they all wanted to stone Him, and Jesus said, he without no sin cast the first stone. So Jesus was not approving sin. He told the lady, He said, go now and sin no more. He showed mercy, He demonstrated mercy, but He never condoned the sin. He said, go and sin no more. God forgives us and He forgets. And the Bible says when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. So the key is to walk in the light. That's why God gives you Christian brothers and sisters. I want to encourage you, if you're not part of a fellowship, part of a home cell, part of a church, it's important. Watching online, we thank God for technology, but you need relationships. Scripture makes it clear. From 1 John 1 verse 5, listen, no one is perfect. If we think we have no sin, then we're liars. We deceive ourselves. The journey of Christianity is not about perfection, but it's about staying and walking in the light, being accountable, understanding the power of repentance and God's forgiveness, and moving on and sinning no more, changing, developing your mindset to move forward and out of a place of repetitive addiction and bad cycles. You know, God brings people into your life to break that negative cycle. Christian friends and family. The power of the blood of Jesus is released in confessing, repenting, and walking in the light with other believers. You can finish your race that God has for you as a Christian. You don't have to backslide. You don't have to fall away. You don't have to give yourself back to the devil. You can carry on walking with God as you remain in the light, in counsel, in fellowship, accountable. Then you'll experience God's power in your life. It's not about trying to be perfect. It's about walking in the light, in the truth. We should be relying on His grace and mercy, but also be extending His mercy that we ourselves have freely received. We are called to share the gospel with boldness, with unfiltered truth and love, the second wave of love. And we know the truth can be hard, but the truth, Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. We have a Savior and He confronts sin. He calls for repentance and He insists that He alone is the way, the truth, and the light. There's no other way to heaven. It's not all roads lead to heaven. There's one way. His name is Jesus. There's not many religions. There's not many ways. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we have to understand that. And we have to be bold about it and unapologetic about it and stop trying to filter it and soften the message. God never softened the message. It's not age-rated. It's not censored. It must be delivered in a message that is inoffensive. It's flexible. It's confrontive. When God speaks to us, when God challenges us, it's confrontive. I don't know if you've ever faced a lion. If you haven't, I want to encourage you. We have some beautiful lion farms outside here at Kimberley. Walk up to a lion. Just make sure there's an electric fence or there's enough barriers to protect you. But try and confront a lion. When that lion roars, I don't care who you are, you're going to start doubting yourself. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. And He roars, man. He's the light. And when the light shines, no darkness, no demon, no sin can remain in the presence of our loving and forgiving and our merciful God. For the blood of Jesus is alive today as it was 2,000 years ago. But the Lion of the tribe of Judah roars over his city. He throws his mane back and he says, Kimberly, you shall be saved. You have to repent. Come back to God. Come back to church. Walk in the light again. Be healed. Go sin no more. Some relationships are worth fighting for. Christianity is not inherited through your parents. You're not okay because your parents pray for you. You're okay because you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. You have called upon the Lord yourself. You thank God for pastors and priests and dominies and bishops, but you need your own relationship with God. We are here to equip you. We are here to help you, guide you, equip you, lead you, pray for you. But I can never substitute or take the relationship that you must have with your personal God. Thank God for teachers, apostles, prophets, and the fivefold ministry. But you need your own walk with God. Thank God for your believing wife. But my brother, you need your own relationship with God. Thank God for your believing spouse, husband, or grandparent, or mother, or your father. But you need your own relationship with Jesus Christ. God has no grandkids. He only has sons and daughters. It's not inherited. You don't just make it because your parents come to church. And parents must tell that to our kids. So I'm going to make you go, if you're going to live in my house, you're coming with me to church. Why? Because one day you're going to leave my house. And I've got to raise you up and train you up in the ways that you must walk. We go to church on a Sunday. It's a priority. It's a culture. It's something that I must put into you. Because a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. One day your great-grandchildren will be going to church because daddy and mommy made a decision back in 2026. Says, as for me in my house, we are going to serve the Lord. We go to church. We go to church on a Sunday. Do we have some of those people here today? Or are you going to just throw away your Christianity? Throw away your morals. Throw away your justice. Throw away your belief system. And just, oh well, Sunday's just any other day. It's not just a commercial day. It's just another day of the week. We do our shopping. We do things on our Sunday. No, Sunday's a holy day. It's a special day. It's the Lord's day. Hallelujah. Come on, and you decided this morning to get to church, jump to your feet, and give Him a praise because it's Sunday. You put on your best. You put on your Sunday best. It's a good day. Hallelujah. I tell you, the devil hates a Sunday. At least in Kimberley. Maybe other cities are so secularized, modernized, that they don't have time for God anymore. Excuse me. Excuse me. You make time for the Lord. You make time for the Lord. Say amen, Pastor. Yes, Pastor, I agree with you. We are going to make time for God on a Sunday. Don't call things that are unholy, holy, and things that are holy, unholy. We prioritize the will and the work of God in His house. Christianity is never assumed and it's not private. Our Savior died on a cross publicly. Your Christianity cannot be submarine, hidden, secret service stuff. We're not a cult. We don't do things in darkness, behind closed doors. We live out our lives. What you see is what we get. I have decided to follow Jesus. This is it. I'm not perfect, but I'm in the light. I'm walking in the light with you and me. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us. And as long as we're there, we're going to be okay. Hallelujah. That's truth. He doesn't want to just be a part that's added to your life. Oh yeah, I'm so busy. I've got my goals. And oh yes, and I mustn't forget to add Jesus to my life. It's not just another part of it who fits conveniently in. No, He demands to be Lord over our lives. And that's a good thing because He's protecting you. He's helping us. Who's in charge, me or him? I'd rather have God in charge. I'd rather make him my Lord than myself. Amen. Come on, you must tell your spouse, who's head of this house? The Lord is. And then the husband. And then the wife. And then the children. Come on, that's our Jesus. He doesn't need rebranding, okay? He doesn't need a cool website. What he needs is witnesses. Say amen. People who have personally seen Jesus. We don't have to just keep on rebranding. Thank God for our modern colors and the nice building we have. But we don't have to always rebrand. What we really need is people who can witness. Who really know Jesus. Who can testify. You know, if you were at the scene of a crime, the judge is going to say, come here, you were there, tell us what happened. They're going to call in witnesses. People need to know that Jesus is alive still today. That's why you have to witness. You don't have to be an evangelist and stand on the street corner with a Bible and start preaching. No, but we're called to be witnesses of His grace, of His love, of His mercy, of His goodness, of what He's done in your life since the day you repented and decided to follow Jesus. Say amen. Hallelujah. Come on, that's truth. That's walking in the light. It doesn't give us comfort. It calls us to have truth. Truth means I choose truth. Over my family, my tradition, my culture, my upbringing. Whether I'm English, whether I'm Afrikaans, whether I'm Zulu, Xhosa, Tswana. We thank God for our beautiful cultures. We live in a wonderful nation. We thank God for all these, all the colors and the music and the culture. We won. Amen. The blood of Jesus reconciles black, white, colored, Asian, Caucasian. It unifies. It's the spirit of reconciliation. That is the message of Christ. He died on a cross publicly to reconcile the world back to Him. And then the cross isn't just a pole, it is a cross. Now that I've been reconciled with my Heavenly Father, hatred has to go. Prejudice has to go. Amen. No more racism. It has to go. It has to go. The church has to be the light. We have to release the second wave of love over our city. Release an invasion. Come on, if you see somebody is being ugly to the other race, you be the one, you be the vocalist one. You go and love on that person. Be the change in your school. Be the change in the government department. Be the change in the marketplace. Be the change in the farming community. Be the change on the sports field. Come on, South Africa, we're a beautiful nation. We are the rainbow nation. Oh, I'm so glad we're not just in Sweden and we all are white and we all have blonde hair and we all have blue eyes. Praise God, we are colorful. We are different. It's beautiful. We are not the same. We are different, but we are reconciled. We can be in unity. That is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we can now walk in fellowship. Maybe you grew up in old apartheid South Africa or post-apartheid South Africa. Maybe racism has swung the other way, which it has in some parts. And always exclusion. Or maybe you're not rich enough and now you're excluded from that group. Or you weren't the sharpest tool in the shed. Or you weren't the sports one. You weren't the cool one. You know, a man loves to segregate and divide and split. And everything about Christianity is get in the fellowship. Get in the fellowship. Get in the church. Yeah, we might not be braying every day together, but we are in unity. We stand for a cause. Come on. You have something to live for this year. Some of you, you are not going to quit. You cannot fail. You've got too much to live for. Your business is not going to face bankruptcy. You are not going to get fired. You are not going to die before your time. You have too much to live for. You were born for a purpose. God kept you. He kept you alive. You maybe went through hell last year. But hey, praise the Here. Jy's nog hier, my broer. Jy's nog hier, my sister. Means choosing His way. I choose to walk in the light. I'm done with darkness. I'm done with hatred. I'm done with pointing of the finger. I come to the amazing place. You know what is the amazing thing about light? Darkness cannot comprehend the light. Hallelujah. I tell you, there may be darkness around you. All it takes is one person in that school, in that suburb, in that family. You may be the only person in your family. You may be born out of another religion, but one light just destroys darkness. The church is on the move. The church is, God is releasing wave after wave of love. You cannot outperform light. You cannot beat light if you are dark. Light is brighter. The light of God is stronger. You are on the winning side. You chose correctly. His name is Jesus. He is the one true Savior. Hallelujah. He will bring justice. He will bring goodness. And He will bring His word to your situation. That's why I said the safest place is to be in the light. It's in the darkness where the thief comes. It's in the darkness. And ons almal weet, before we were saved, we did nonsense in the dark. Me and my friends, I'm not proud of it. We used to sneak out of our houses, 12, 1 o'clock, and we used to go steal numbers, steal doorbells. We used to do damage while everyone was sleeping. Yes, your pastor. Yes, me. I was a thief. We used to go in. We used to steal stuff. And then we used to ring the doorbell and then run away. That was me. Amen. Thank God I'm saved. We stopped the day the police pulled us over. Listen, when you're in the dark, you don't get up too much. Good. The best thing for you, for your husband, for your wife, the best thing for you and your children is to come into the light. We all are work in progress. Nobody is perfect. But I want to tell you, if you are committed to stay in the light, you will be safe. The blood of Jesus will wash and will forgive. You'll come to a place of conviction. Your children will repent. They will turn from their wicked ways and receive Jesus. Walk in the light. Come on, walk in the light. There's a word that we must take this year, is to be in the light. And there's nothing that is terrible enough that has to stay in the light that God can't heal. There's no situation that you've dealt with that God can't heal. That's why humility is so powerful. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them He gave them the power to become sons of God. God counts it in a huge honor that man would humble himself and repent and acknowledge that he needs a Savior. And the Bible says God imputes righteousness. We change because of the light. John 1 verse 4, in Him was life and the light was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not comprehend it. Hallelujah. Light is always stronger and more powerful. Come on, you're in a strong place if you're walking in the light this year. You're in fellowship, not just with your pals, but with Christians, with men and women of God who know the truth, who walk in the truth. It's the safest place to walk in the light. John 3:16, we know the scripture well, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 18, he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Listen, the light has come. But men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Amen. I want to tell you, there's good works God has for you this year. There's deeds God has for you. Exploits of faith. There's purpose. There's a task for you that you don't have to be ashamed about, that you don't have to be embarrassed about, that you can come to God. God's pattern for His people, His church, was always to be in the path, to walk and stay in the light. As I close, time is going fast here. We walk in the light and we have fellowship with one another. The Bible says, here it is. Oh, my pages were stuck. Sorry. My apologies. Hebrews 8 verse 10. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time. We're now in the new covenant. No, it's not Israel. It's the body of Christ. The Gentiles, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Come on, say it. Say, I am God's people. I'm His people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. I want you to see this. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, He has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. How many of you still carry an old, outdated cell phone? Maybe some of you have it in your drawer next to your bed. But when something becomes outdated in technology, it becomes unusable. Am I right? There was an old covenant that's become outdated. God upgraded. He gave us a higher covenant that He would forgive us of our sins and remember our sins no more. The old was outdated. That's why the Bible says, forget yesterday. Forget your past. Forget that life of waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and stealing stuff, Brian. That's no longer you. You're not a thief. You have repented. You have been forgiven. You're a new creation. The old is past. All things have become new. You have to forget what happened to your past. Many of you, your past is like a chain that's holding you back. You have to break with your past. You are a new creation. Your identity is not in yesterday. It is in who Christ has made you to be today. I'm preaching better than what you're clapping here. Psalm 103 verse 12, He has removed our sins as far as what the east is from the west. We have to forget our old life, our sin, our mistakes. You can't experience the new if you keep remembering the old. It's like driving a car, not focusing on what is ahead, but in front, only looking via the rear view mirror. You know, how is it possible to live your life if all you're doing is you're just driving in the rear view and you're looking through the rear view mirror? We thank God for the rear view mirror. It shows us our past, where we've been. We thank God we're not going to make the same mistakes. We can see that our past wants to catch up with us so we can accelerate and remind ourselves. But in 2026, you have to forget the old. You have to put yesterday behind us. While you're driving in the car and you see maybe a cow on the left, you can't just be driving and looking at the cow. What's going to happen? You're going to destroy your car. You're going to go off the road. You have to forget. Oh, Pastor, this is so simple. That's so simple, but it's so powerful. Forget the old. Don't be so caught up with the mistakes of yesterday, paralyzed with the guilt and shame and fear, worry, condemnation of your past. You can't change that situation. If you're going to meditate upon it, you're going to end up going back to your past where nothing can change. If anything is going to have to change, you're going to have to forget, forgive, repent, move on. You can't build a life with yesterday. Amen. Some of us have to move on. Come on, you have to say, I've decided to move on now. Maybe it was a season of failure. I've decided to move on now. That season is gone. And when you enter a new season, enjoy it. Make the most of it. But then when that season comes to an end, you have to move on. Maybe you are engaged. Enjoy the season of being engaged, because that season's going to move on. One day you're going to have kids. One day you're going to have grandkids. Enjoy the moments, but you can't still be a bachelor and you're a grandfather. Asseblieftor. You must act your age. Move on. No, Pastor, it's not perfect yet. Hey, you need to move on. Listen, you know, I'm a family of four, me and my wife and my two kids. God gave me two daughters, so I'm surrounded by women all the time. Nothing wrong with that. But all the brothers, maybe you can relate. So now we go on holiday, and my family, my girls, they like, and my wife, they're creative. They like painting potteries and stuff. So I always walk around, have burgers or coffee. And now they say, no, I must now come and be part. Okay, praise God. There we are. Anyway, eventually I started to enjoy it. But one thing, I made a simple design or paint on this bowl, and I thought, yeah, it's perfect. I should have just left it. But I said, no, I can add something. And I started to paint something. And then it started to look bad. Then I started to fix the mistake, and I painted more and more and more, till eventually I messed the whole thing up. Some things you just have to walk away from. Amen. Because the more you're trying to fix it, the more you're going to mess it up. You have to repent and say, Father, I repent. Get back in the light and move on. And stay in the light. Forget what's behind. It's going to rob you of your future. Forget yesterday. It's stealing your today. And the faith that you called to live for the now, it's robbing you of being present in the day. You're missing opportunities of today by worrying about what happened yesterday. The failures, the bad mistakes. Called to walk in the light, not in darkness anymore. Forget the things you did in the darkness. That season is over. Walk in the light means to walk in the truth. Handle the truth. Know the truth. Be set free by the truth. Read your Bible. Submit yourself to the Word. If God speaks to you about something, act upon it. There's protection in numbers, not in isolation. Proverbs 18:1, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and he rages against all wise judgment. It's when deception kicks in, when nobody can tell you that you're wrong. Everybody's wrong and you're always right. No, no, don't be the fool like that. Even the Bible says we know in part, we see in part. In the multitude of counselors, Proverbs 11:14, there is safety. There's always safety in numbers. Amen. If you and your friend get offended and he says, let's go start our own church, good luck to you. There's safety in numbers, in accountability. Amen. James 1:23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away, immediately forgets what he looks like. Even though we know and hear the truth, we can fall short by not doing what it says and deceive ourselves. The truth is the mirror. Things start to go wrong. The wheels start to fall off when we want to just be the Lord of our own lives. Seen in my life, I've seen in the life of many others over the years, when we start to isolate ourselves, we get quiet, we break fellowship, we break communion with the body. And that's when the enemy comes in and his voice becomes the loudest, when you are isolated. So come on, 2026, let's walk in the light. Let me say this, God has sustained you because you have stayed in the light. You've remained accountable and in fellowship. That's why God will sustain you. Taking responsibility, yes, as well. But walking in the light, that's how God can sustain us. Always knowing, I have a Father who loves me. I don't have to run away. Don't have to keep secrets. I can come to my Heavenly Father. So the big question, will you stay in the light? Ask your neighbor, you're going to stay in the light? Are you going to walk in the light? Are you going to have fellowship? Pastor, I'm scared of people. I don't know how to act. I'm an introvert. Guess what? The blood of Jesus delivers you from all your fear of man. Hallelujah. Pastor, I've never had a friend in my life. Well, good news. You're going to have a lot of friends now. Great friends. You're going to have fellowship. You're going to have people from all races now. You're going to have friends that are younger than you. You're going to have friends that are older than you. Hallelujah. Because there's power in the family. The Bible says the blood of Jesus washes and cleanses us as we walk in the light as He's in the light. It's who we are. We are people of light. Amen. I'm not a darkness person. I'm a light person. We don't walk in darkness. We walk in truth. We walk in light. We can have a conversation. We can handle the truth. You can come tell us. We can handle it. Come speak. I mean, I had to learn that through my marriage, my wife. Oh, my word. She's very confrontive. She's the lioness. You can't just walk on eggshells your whole life. You have to speak sometimes. Talk about things. We can handle it. It's rebelliously, but I'm just even your kids. Talk to your kids. Talk to your parents. Talk to your spouse. Talk to your boss. Don't skin it behind his back in the darkness. That's the work of Satan. Bring it to the light with respect and honor. Write an email if something is troubling you. Bring it to the light, but what you do in darkness is not helping the situation. Stop gossiping. That changes nothing. You're upset with your friend. Stop talking in the darkness. Stop skinnering. The Bible says gossip is what divides friends. Stop it. Go and speak. Sit down. I mean, I've had to do this many times, and I'm not always enjoying confrontation. No one likes confrontation always. But when you do it, you walk in the light. Why? Because you have to protect that fellowship. You have to protect your own path. You have to guard it. You have to make sure that you are in right standing with Him. You don't cut relationships. We're not into cancel culture in the church of Jesus Christ. There I said it. We are into walking with people. They walk away, okay, there's nothing we can do. But we are, yeah, in the light. Amen. I hope this is helping. I'd like to share something else, but this is what we have to share. Will you stay in the light in 2026 and forever? Amen. Come on, place your hand on your heart. You are the light. Where you go, the light shines. Every home cell on a Wednesday, whenever you have fellowship, every business meeting, every prayer meeting, every gathering of Christians, you are the light. Darkness cannot take over our city if the light, if the children of light are around. I walked into a lift on Saturday with the elderly lady, and I could see she was a bit nervous, and she was looking at me funny. I didn't understand. Then when the door opened and she walked out, she said, "Ek is baie jammer. I'm very sorry, but I was very nervous." Because I heard recently about the old lady who walked into a lift, and she was attacked by three men. You know, if the light is around, that won't happen. Yes. We have to be people of light. Guardians. Walk in the light. Stay in fellowship. There's protection in numbers. Amen. Father, thank you for the light. Let the light shine brighter. Help us to walk in fellowship. Help us to walk on reconciliation. Thank you that you heal relationships. You restore broken relationships. Gossiping to stop, slander and the pointing of the finger. Thank you for unity. Thank you that we can talk, we can discuss things with wisdom. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Thank you that we can walk in the light. Help us to guard our hearts. Help us to be a church of fellowship, of unity. And your word promises us, Lord, that if we are in fellowship, if we are in unity, the blood of Jesus is released. Where there's repentance, repentance will come. Conviction will come. We thank you for this. Change our hearts this year. Help us to be in the light in Jesus' mighty name. And those who agree say amen. You know, they say there's two things that you cannot avoid: death and taxes. 17 years of my life, I was a trainee audit accountant, helped people with their taxes. I think I helped enough people with their taxes. Now I must help the people with death. Death is an uncomfortable conversation. But let me tell you, it is the acid test ratio of your belief. This is what signifies the difference that we have, the confidence that we have. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Dat jy weet, that you know, that if you were to die today, you have salvation. That's why I know I have the truth in my heart. It's the acid test. It's the most simplest test. And we're not called to put fear on people, but it's a good conversation to have with your family, your colleagues, and your friends. Ah, but you, this loud, charismatic, tongue-talking, yes, we thank God for all of that, but here's the test. The truth is this: I'm saved, so are you saved. Are you born again? If you were to die today, do you know where you would go? Not sorry, but convicted to repent. Sorry on a Sunday, but on a Monday you're sorry, but not sorry. That's not change. That's remorse. Not feeling bad about my situation or feeling bad what I did. But repentance is conviction. It's not guilt or condemnation. This is the best way to explain salvation. It's coming to the light, not getting caught in darkness. It's coming to a Savior who loves you despite what you have already done. It's knowing that even while I was in darkness and sinning and turning my back on God, He still chose to love me and die for me. And He still remained good, and He still remained gracious. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, the B part, who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He calls us out of darkness, not just into His light, but into His marvelous, His beautiful light. But I want you to see, you see that last part was, He says He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. But I want you to see the first part. The Bible is trying to tell us something powerful here. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him. I want you to see that. It says, you were always chosen by God. It says, but you are chosen by God. You were always royalty. You were always a priest. You were always holy. You were always a special person. You were just walking in darkness. And you heard the good news that He died for all your sins. And you decided not to run with the crowd. But you decided, you made a decision. I've decided to follow Jesus. To come out of darkness. Come out of darkness to the light. Where you're no longer shamed and secret, but you stand bold and proud. This is the gospel. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody moving. You're standing here today. You're sitting here today. Maybe that's you. You were just in darkness. That was all of us. God had a plan for our lives before we were even formed in our mother's womb. But the difference and the challenge was we were just walking in darkness. But this morning, God is calling you. He's speaking to you to come out of darkness. To forget what every person has done in your life and every single thing that you've done in your life, and to make up your mind that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by the Son. Today you have to make a decision. The Bible puts before us life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life. Jesus died on a cross publicly. And so there has to be a time in our lives where we make a decision to follow Him publicly. Unashamed. What we're ashamed of will not work for us. So while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying, you say, there's a stirring in your heart. You say, Pastor, that's me. I come to church today. I feel like I've always been holy. I've always been that man that God wants to use. But I've just been walking in the wrong crowd. I've been in darkness. But this morning I want to make a decision. I want to repent. I want to come to the light. I want to follow Jesus. Well, the Bible says you have to deny yourself. I wish I could simplify it, soften it, water it down and say you don't have to, but it's not going to work for you. The power is in the denial. The power is in the repentance. The power is when you realize, hey, I need to repent. I have to make a decision to follow Jesus. Come hell or high water, I don't care what people think or say about me. I need to follow Jesus. If that is you, then quietly, unashamedly, while heads are bowed, there's a hell to shun and there's a heaven to gain this morning. God is calling you back to walk in the light, to walk in the truth, to walk in humility, to come home today. And there are many this morning that are in the Bible says the valley of decision. As we stand at the beginning of a new year, you have a clean slate, you have a clean, a new beginning this morning. Won't you respond to the gospel today? Won't you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? If that is you, then boldly and unashamedly forget the person next to you and lift up your heaven and raise it up to heaven and indicate to me as the pastor. Say, Pastor, include me in that prayer right now. Come on, slip up your hand if that is you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Many, many hands. Many, many hands here this morning. Stirring in your heart. Come on, it's a new beginning for you. All you got to do is walk into the light. Come on, slip up your hand. Heaven is cheering you on. Your family is praying for you to walk in the light, in the fellowship. One last time, you haven't raised your hand, but you know God is calling you to walk in His will, in His ways, in that place of safety. Yes, God bless you. Maybe you once served God, but you backslid. You're no longer serving God. But today you want to make a recommitment, a fresh beginning, then please raise your hands as well. Right across this place, on the balcony, on my right, on my left, in the middle, watching online. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, believers are praying, interceding right now. Warfare is being released for the souls of mankind. Satan wants to keep people blinded and keep them walking in darkness. But the light of the gospel, today you're hearing, today you're seeing, that God loves you, that you come as you are, and He will wash you, He will cleanse you. You don't have to first get your life sorted out. Don't say, Pastor, once I get my stuff sorted, then I'll come to church. It's never going to work like that. You come as you are in Jesus. Then one last time, you haven't raised your hand. Thank you. Why don't you come? Hallelujah. Death and taxes. We're all going to face death one day. It shouldn't be a sad question. Family, once you look at me right across this place, there were many of you that raised your hand. Maybe you didn't raise your hand. We're going to sing a song. We're going to worship. I want to ask you to please do one more thing for me. We're going to switch on the lights. I'm going to ask every one of you wonderful people that have raised your hands. Maybe you didn't raise your hand. Do me the privilege. Do me the honor. Don't come and meet me at the altar, the place of surrender. So once you bring your personal belongings, make your way to the nearest aisle. As we stand up, let's cheer them on. Just come. Just come. Turn to your neighbor if you want to say, you want to go, come with you. Just come. Just come. Come on, there were many of you here this morning that are making up this decision. Come. There's salvation in your name. There's salvation in your name. It makes me cry. There's forgiveness, Lord. There's forgiveness in your name. There's forgiveness in your name. There's forgiveness in your name. It makes me cry. Holy. Jesus be, yes. And Jesus be the name. And Jesus be the name. And Jesus be the name that gets all the glory. And Jesus be the name. Shine your light brighter than ever before this year. Let your gospel shine not only on a Sunday, but through every torchbearer, every light carrier in this congregation. That you may see a reward of your suffering on the cross. That you will raise up witnesses in the city, light carriers. On the sports field, in the boardroom, in the classroom, in the farm, wherever we find ourselves, that we will walk in the light and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us. We lift up our city. Kimberley, may you be a city of light. Shine, Jesus, through your people. We lift up this year. That there will be no darkness, there will be no religion, no false religion. But people will turn from their wicked ways and come to the light and receive forgiveness and healing and strength and salvation. And they will be permanently changed because they remain in the light. They will not go back to their ways of addictions and sin, but they will experience the light over this region. We thank you for wave upon wave upon wave in the Spirit, that you will ignite us and unify us even as an army to bring the light to the Gentiles. We ask you for this, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. You wonderful people that came forward, what a privilege it is to pray with you. Thank you for coming out today. I'm going to ask you to please place your hand on your heart if you can. Say this with me. Say loud enough that you can hear your own words. It's your prayer. I'm just leading you in it. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning I come to the light. I repent of all my sins. And I acknowledge that I need a Savior. Jesus Christ, be my Lord and be my Savior. From this day forward, I give you my life. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came from heaven. You died on a cross. You went to hell. You conquered the grave. And on the third day, the Father resurrected you. I put my faith and my trust in you. Thank you for reconciling me back to you. I receive this gift in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give them a big, big hand.